Museum of the Rockies inspires lifelong learning in science, history, culture, and art. Since 1989, the Living History Farm provides visitors with an immersive, field-based learning experience of Montana's homesteading and agricultural history. This program is designed to continue to bring the history of Montana's homesteading to you. For current information on hours, admission, and the Living History Farm, please visit museumoftherockies.org. Welcome to the Museum of the Rockies Living History Farm. My name is Angie Weichert, and I'm down here at the farm today. It's a late June day, and I'm in the blacksmith shop with Dave Kinsey. Thanks for being here today, Dave.
I'm Dave Kinsey. I'm the Living History Farm manager here at the Museum of the Rockies, and I'm also the assistant director of exhibits. And I've been working down here for what seems like a pretty long time. To me, I've been at the museum. This is my 25th year at the museum. I guess like my 24th year down at the Living History Farm. So the Living History Farm came to the museum back in 1986. It was brought here from Willow Creek, Montana. Was the original house was really the Tinsley House was really the main feature than all they had in the beginning. It was the first thing here. And that was actually before the main large museum that we have today was built too. They were building that at the same time. So the director at the time wanted to have some kind of agricultural history program, and they got this great old house and moved it here whole, all in one piece, and that was the beginning of the Living History Farm. And its main job would be to talk about agricultural history and homesteading of Montana. So I'd say those are our main goals down here, is to have a little slice of life of what that would be like. 1890 era, 1889 is when the Tinsley House was built.
So today we're talking about blacksmithing. Before we start the fire, Dave, using coal, can you tell us about the significance of blacksmithing and our program down here at the Living History Farm at Museum of the Rockies?
Coal and the whole technology of blacksmithing is ancient. So it goes back thousands of years. The technology that really changed mankind was being able to forge metal. And so this technology of using coal, and you heat it up with air, you blow air over it, and that gets it super hot. It gets it so hot that it can melt iron and it can weld steel. So it's just a really old technology that was used for thousands of years, really. But what we have here at the Living History Farm is an 1890s farm shop. Not a commercial blacksmith shop by any means. This is like what would be on somebody's farm. And it was used to repair things. And it was used to shoe horses. And it was used for fixing farm equipment and for their farm metal shop. And that's the technology we have down at the Living History Farm. Although blacksmithing goes back thousands of years, even to the samurai swords you see and, you know, King Arthur and all of it, is all the same technology of heating up either coal or charcoal and making it super hot so you can form metal with it. We'll try and light this fire here. So basically, you're getting this small wood fire going, and then you're going to bank it with coal, and you're going to get the coal really hot, and then you're going to take the coal and turn it into coke, which is what this stuff is right here. You can even hear the sound of it. It's not the same as coal. Coal has all the tar and the sulfur and all the stuff in it. And when you burn all that off, you get coke, which is what this is now, this really light, kind of popcorn-looking stuff. now you can see when you give it the air, it really, it'll start getting hot. It'll start making the fire hotter and hotter, just like if you blow on a campfire to get it going. And basically, when you're forging metal, you can do interesting things like a machinist. He can cut metal and take away from the base metal and make, drill a hole where you're just taking away material. But the blacksmith, he can take the metal and he can form it. So he could punch a hole in a piece of metal and you never lose any of the metal. And basically, the whole idea is you're heating up the metal, the steel, or the iron, whatever you're working with, or even bronze. You're heating that up, and it's exciting all the molecules in there. And that makes it more fluid, so then you can shape it. If you just try to shape metal cold, all the molecules are cold and bonded together, and it'll just break. But if you heat up the molecules, then you can work it, and then you can, you know, form it to whatever shape you want. And it's really quite amazing what you can do to it and still have it be very strong, you know. So before there were welders, all the welding was done in the forge. So you would have to heat the metal to where it was red hot, and then you would join it in the forge. So like all chain was made that way, like chainmail armor, if you think about that being made that way, like every single little link had to be forge welded in the forge. The skill to do that is just amazing to me. Like, it's something that would be really great to get better at. You can blacksmith with charcoal as well. And you could do it with charcoal from the hardware store. You could put in here and it would work just as well. Coal gets a lot hotter and coke gets a lot hotter, and you can really do a lot more with that. But you can still work metal with charcoal really well, and they did it for centuries, you know, in the olden days.
Is this forge a typical size of the 1890s?
You know, this is a great little forge. It's like what you would see in the Sears Roebuck catalog from that time. You would see a forge like this. A lot of times they have the blower already attached. Our blower is separate. You can see it here, and it's got the crank on it, and that sound you hear is me cranking it. This geared blower, so it concentrates the air in like a small pipe that goes up through the bottom of the forge. But it is both of these things are actually from 1890s, and they're in pretty decent shape. I repaired the blower, and it came from Pennsylvania, so it's Champion. They call it the geared blower. So
the forge setup is this 2-foot by 3-foot. Rectangular kind of tray, I would describe it as. And then the blower is elevated a bit with the pipe going into the base of that rectangular forge to push air through there. And then tell us about the ventilation in here. It's going out through a hood and out through a chimney?
Yep, it's going right through. It has a hood that's over the top of the forge. That goes outside to, has a big pipe that goes outside, and there's kind of a little stone chimney on the top of the blacksmith shop here. So our blacksmith shop is really what happened a lot of times on homesteads, where they would take, this is their original cabin, and then they built themselves a new house, and now they're using this as kind of a secondary structure for their blacksmith shop. So it has a dirt floor in it. No floor, which is good, so you don't burn the place down when you're blacksmithing.
Pretty low ceiling in here also.
Yeah. It's nice and cool in here, though, even with the coal fire. But here I'll take and I'll open this up so you can see inside there. Here, I'll really pour the fire, the air to it. You ready?
Okay.
Inside there, it's on the, see how the color of it's like almost white.
Yeah.
That is very, very hot. So that you would, if you left your metal in there, it would just burn it up. Like it would burn all the carbon in the metal and catch it on fire. So that molten core is really what you want. And so now we have something we can work with. We can control that. If we stop and don't give it any air,
it calms down,
and we have this nice molten mass in there.
And you're keeping it fairly small. It's like a 12-inch diameter or so, if that, maybe 8.
Yeah, you can do a lot with this size. Let me get a hammer here, and we'll...
As you're getting that hammer, Dave, I'm looking at the anvil here. And the anvil is a key part of a blacksmith shop. Can you tell us more about our anvil at the Living History Farm?
We have a really great anvil, and it also is from 1890. It's a Peter Wright anvil. In the old days, they forged anvils a little differently than now. They would basically pound this out and get this piece of metal super hot and pound it out, and it made for a really great anvil. A lot of the anvils that you see nowadays, modern day, are cast, and they weld like a hardened piece on the top right here. But the anvil, this anvil is a nice old one, and it just has a great, great sound to it. That means it's in good shape. And there's different parts of the anvil. This is the horn of the anvil.
That
right
pointy
here.
Tip on the end.
And that's, used for bending
diameter.
And forming the metal over that. And then the face of the anvil is right here, the top part. And then this part right here is called the step.
That in-between part.
And that's soft. If you look at that, you can see that's not hardened. Like, the top part is a piece of hardened steel put on top. But right here, this is soft, so you can cut metal there. And if your cutting tool goes into the soft part, it won't chip. Like, the top of this hardened steel is super hard, and that might chip. So this is used for cutting, and you can see all the times it's been cut right there. Look at all the marks in there from blacksmiths over the years. So let's heat up some metal and shape it into something. Maybe we'll make a hook.
Sounds good.
So I'm going to take the metal and stick it into the sort of the center of that mass, of that hot mass that we were talking about before, and I'll give it some air, and you can see it starts to glow orange in there, and if you keep giving it air, it'll get hotter and hotter and turn white like we saw before. You just gotta put it in there for a little bit, move it around. So it's heating all those molecules up inside there and making it red hot. And the color of the steel is really important too. So like right now, you see it's like a dull red color there when I take it out and look at it. That's pretty good. We're starting to get there. I want it to be a little brighter orange than that so I can work the metal. If I go too far, it'll catch on fire. But see, now that's a bright.
Yeah. So the whole end is a bright glowing orange.
Yeah. So we'll draw this out.
So draw it out meaning flatten it.
Well, drawing it out means I'm going to make it longer. I'll make it longer. It'll come to a point, and we'll turn this into a hook maybe. And now you can see how it's cooled down. It's like a dull red. And I got to put it back in the fire. So, like, it's for a while there, it was a nice orange color. And then me pounding on it, putting it on the cold anvil, it goes dull again. And I gotta reheat it. Okay, we'll get this red again. You don't have to hit it super hard. It's not about using a lot of force. It's about using good concentrated blows where you want your uh, your hammer to be.
It's almost like you're hitting it with the intention of trying to stretch it out. It's almost like you've given it a little direction to it.
Yeah, it's kind of a, I mean, I think one way to think about it is if you hit something that's red hot like that, it's got to go somewhere. So like if you're smashing it with the hammer, then that's going to create the motion of the metal is going to go somewhere. So it's going to spread out, or it's going to get longer, or it's going to do whatever you hopefully want it to do. But yeah, so it's about moving the metal around and using your hammer to get it to move where you want it to go. All right, so we'll take it. Now I'll be a little more.
So smaller movements then.
Yeah, we'll like draw it out a little bit, try to.
You're still keeping that square shape to it though. Like,
I am
you're keeping
it
four sides.
Yeah, I am right now. If we wanted to change that, we could. I'm going to keep it that way so I can draw it out, and you can see how it's getting a lot thinner now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be like the point of our hook. All right, we'll heat it again here, and then we'll bend it.
So homesteaders, where would they have gotten their metal from?
Well, it depends. Like our time period is 1890, so Bozeman at that time had the railroad. Those technologies really brought in the raw materials, and also mining. Montana is about mining. I mean, is really what we look at as one of the major developments of our state was mining in Virginia City, mining in Bannock, and mining in Helena are what brought technology here. And so this technology was definitely what miners would use because they needed to repair their tools and they needed to, make all kinds of equipment for mining. They needed chain, they needed, all kinds of things. So I'm going to bend this now. We'll bend it so we can make a...
So to bend it, you're holding it over the main part of the anvil.
I am, and then I'm going to come over to the horn of the anvil and we'll like...
So using those edges on the anvil, using that round horn to curve the end of the hook, and using that main part of the anvil to really make a 90-degree bend to that.
Yeah, round. and then we started getting our hook shape, mm-hmm. And we'll work on that. But you can see what's happening is I'm running out of fire, so I gotta like
it's turning gray.
Yep, I'm losing my fire. I have to put it back in and we'll shape it again, but you know, it's the start is there. I'm going to cool this off on the tip there, just so we keep that. So when I cool that off, that makes it sort of hardens it so it's not malleable anymore. So let's cut this. Let's use this one.
All right, so tell us about the tools you're using.
Yeah, so this right here I'm going to put in the anvil, and it's a Hardy. This is the Hardy hole.
So there's a square-shaped hole there towards the end of the anvil.
And I have one that I'm putting in here that's sharpened, and that's what you can use to cut hot metal with that, and I'll show you how we do that. Okay.
So that sharp point is sticking upward towards the ceiling.
Yeah, it looks like a chisel, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me heat up. So for cutting, you need it to be good and hot, like really orange, because you want it to be nice and soft to make that cut. Just look at that. Look how the color of that
it's
deep
really
in there.
Hot. Yeah,
it is orange
so
and very hot. All right, and I'll just hold this in my hand, and then I'm going to bring it over here, and then I'm just going to put it on there.
So you're putting the hottest part of that metal over the top of that
And you can see, like, getting down. See that line that's starting to come on
there?
Yeah,
it's, like, bulging up a bit.
Yeah, and so that's telling me I'm getting close, and there it is. I just cut that piece of metal right there. It doesn't take a lot of work, and you don't want to hit it too hard, but...
Yeah, you're pretty gentle there.
Yeah. Well, it'll dull your hardy. It'll make it not sharp anymore if you're just banging on it like it's real hard. But so I'm going to grab this piece of metal that I just cut off and throw that into the cold water over here. And that is a key part of blacksmithing, is having that water to be able to cool stuff off. And now it's good to go.
So while this is warming up,
yeah.
The mission of the Living History Farm at MOR is to really help the public understand the importance of agriculture and how it shaped our state, and
right.
to show the 1890s ag. So tell us how blacksmithing ties into that mission and the importance of blacksmithing and agriculture.
Yeah, I think, you know, they were tied in a really big way, because agriculture and, like, MSU being an ag college was about technologies, you know, using those technologies to for your cattle, for, you know, either livestock, for growing a crop, for irrigation. All those things require tools, and they require machinery, and blacksmithing is really a big part of, or was a big part of, agriculture at that time. And if you look in any catalog, like Montgomery Ward's or Sears or any of those, they'll have pages and pages of blacksmithing supplies and tongs and hammers and anvils and forges and blowers. All the things you'll need are in there, so that people could use that on their rural farm, you know. So the technology of being able to repair and work metal was super important. It still is today, if you think about it, on lots of farms and ranches throughout Montana. They have a shop, and they have a place where they can work on their equipment, and they have a place where they can bring their tractor in there and work on it. And it's the same, you know. It's just a change in technology. Instead of horses, we're using tractors, but you still need to work on all that stuff, your plows and your seeders and your, you know, all of your equipment, and that hasn't changed, so, you know, that's still going on today.
At this point in the season, it's late June, and we do our Living History Farm training earlier in the year in the spring, but our farm, it runs off of volunteer efforts, and the blacksmith shop is one of those that's volunteer-based.
Yeah.
So in the upcoming years, tell us about joining our volunteer program, and if you're interested in blacksmithing, what the Museum of the Rockies does to train you in so that you could be a volunteer interpreter in our blacksmith shop.
Right. It's one of the things that we're always looking for blacksmith volunteers here. It's kind of a hard thing to get going in, though. You have to be up for making a lot of mistakes. You have to do a lot of the research on your own, as well as get trained here. We'll train you with what we know, but we're not really a trade school, and it's not an apprentice program or anything like that, but we're always looking for blacksmith volunteers if you want to learn this trade. It takes, like, a fair amount of your own time and energy to learn it. It's not easy, and it takes a lot of patience, but it is really fun to work with metal, and I really like it. It's really satisfying, and you can make interesting things, and I really love working with metal, even more than wood, because wood, you can take away from wood, and you can drill holes, and you can make your piece smaller, but you can't take a piece of wood and pound it out and make it longer. and it's also very strong, and you can bend it and turn it into things, and so metal for me is really an interesting thing to work with because of that, and I've always just liked it a little more than I'd like working with wood. So,
great.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, thanks so much for joining us today and for talking to us about blacksmithing. And
yeah, you should come see us this summer. When we do open, we might have a blacksmith down here. This is going to be kind of a lean year for when the farm gets up and running again. Come see us, and you can see what it's all about. And if you get really interested in it, think about volunteering at the museum or think about taking a class in blacksmithing. They're all over the states, and it's a fun, interesting thing to do.
From all of us at Museum of the Rockies, thank you for your support, and we hope to see you soon.